everyone. Knowing the, I didn't realize school was going to be starting for some here in the next week or two. I'm like, wow, that's just crazy. I'm glad I went to school when I did. You get a full summer. Well, we're going to have communion here in just a little bit, and the scriptures, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but Scripture says that we are to examine ourselves, which means we need to be in front of the Lord. So before we take communion, we should examine ourselves. So as we are going through this message this morning, I just want to pray that you take some time, even during this message, that you work some things out that you need to work out, and even as we have our altar call time, and that you make sure you take care of yourself, you and the Lord, before you take part of communion. And we also want to remind you, communion is for the believer. And we do open communion here, which means you don't have to belong to the church, but we do say that you need to be a believer in Jesus Christ and part of His family. So today, I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to make an attempt today in preaching. I'm going to make an attempt. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to make an attempt today. I'm going to try to tackle probably the hardest topic, I believe, in the Bible, that I believe is there for man to truly comprehend and understand. We're going to walk through this room. We're going to open the door. We're going to walk through it for a little bit. I don't think we can take the full understanding of it. I'm not going to be able to understand all of it. To display and have us all understand all of it, I'm going to take three things that what we're going to work through, and today we're going to talk about God's grace. It is bigger than what you could ever imagine. It is more powerful than what you can imagine. And even just prepping through it, even getting just a few minutes, even while we were singing, it's almost like the breeze of God's grace is so overpowering that it'll floor you. Is the most powerful thing I believe that there is, that exists, is God's grace. And I fully do not understand it all. I don't think I'll fully understand it until I get in the presence of the Lord. And I probably assume that you will not understand it until you get in His presence. And then we'll be there for thousands of years and I will still not understand it. But it's okay. God does. And it's part of Him. And anything part of God is good. So are you willing to walk through this room with me for a few minutes? And I just pray that you will grasp what needs to be grasped for you. You'll take some of you will take a trip back through time in your own life, and you'll see that how awesome God's grace has been to you. Father, as we get ready to take an attempt to step through this door, Lord, of your grace, may we comprehend what we need to comprehend today, and may we know that you are here, and that you are here. And may we understand that and not believe that you are so far away that you're just too far away. I pray, Father, that you would just give us understanding today. Allow your Holy Spirit to work and move on those who you deem He should work through. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about God's grace this morning. I want to talk to you about the saving grace of God. So I want to share with you here what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations in our flesh and thoughts. Here we are. We were at one time, the scriptures here says we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. It's the way the world lives. We were all there. That all of us were there, although many of us have salvation today. We were all there. We were with doom, and we were guilty of our sin. Now, and we were guilty because we'd done things that we should not have done. We've sinned before God. And we have done that and lived according to the ways of the world. Successful in the world's, but not God's. successful in the way the world wants us to live, but not successful in the way God wants us to live. And so we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead. Right now, we really only know life. We are alive. We know what life is. We've experienced death through family and loved ones, but we don't know what that death is for us. We can plant bushes. We can plant flowers and trees, and we see that they live and they blossom, and then there's times when they die. We watch death, but we've never truly experienced death ourselves, although we did not realize at one time, we as believers, before we come to Christ, that we were actually just dead people walking. We were actually what we would call, what the movie makers would say, that we were actually zombies. We were dead people walking because we were dead in our sins. Not because I say, but we were dead in our sins. Because he said, we were dead. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Not me saying it, but the Bible telling us. But the Spirit says we were working in the disobedient. But he goes on, he says, we too previously lived among them in the fleshly desires. That's what we did, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath. We were under wrath, as others were also. But, here's the great piece, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he has had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. We are saved by grace by nothing that we have done in our life to attain salvation. Salvation is a gift by God's grace, something that we didn't merit, something we didn't earn, something we couldn't purchase, because you couldn't do it and I couldn't do it. So we need to know right now that salvation comes from God's grace. Nothing on how beautiful you are, nothing how much you have, nothing by anything, but only by God's grace. It is a gift that God gives and allows and offers to mankind to be redeemed to himself, to make him alive, to make her alive. And it can only be and only can happen by God's grace. So regardless of what the world says, salvation only comes by God's grace. He says, together with Christ Jesus, he has also raised us up and seated us in the heavens, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Once again, we see that word grace. Again, we retain a place in heaven by God's grace for those who come through Jesus Christ. He says, for you are saved by grace through faith. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that this salvation only comes through Christ and is offered only by God's grace. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. And not from works, so that no one can boast. So this is a gift that God has given and offers. It's not by works, so we boast about what we have done. The only boasting is about what God has done, what Jesus Christ has done. But it says, not from works, so that no one can boast, for we are his creation. I want to remind you that those who do not receive Christ are still God's creation, just creation and rebellious and rebellion. But here's a part that a lot of us don't understand about why we have salvation. It is to redeem us. It is to save us. But there's also something else. What is it? It says this, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. We are to do good works, folks. We are to serve. Why? Because we understand and know two reasons. One, I believe, is one that we can never repay God back for his awesome gift of grace and through salvation. We can never repay God back. We can never repay Jesus for giving his life. Even if you had 100,000 lifetimes to redo it, you'll never get it right. Because salvation would still only come through Jesus Christ. Not by your works, not by how awesome you are, not by those things. But even though we receive Christ, we receive it And we have that. But God also says, not only are He's redeeming those which are lost, but He also says to create in them to do good works, which God has prepared for us to do, such as what we do here. It's always bigger. God doesn't expect you to understand it all, but He expects you to have faith. He expects you to trust Him. He expects you to serve Him and to live out the life that God has given to you. I want to give you a fair warning. We can stick. Now, I know many of you have went through this chapter in Ephesians and understand it. And it is a great chapter. I love it because it explains what salvation is, that you can't earn it. But also I want to remind you that it's also sometimes people want to stay in this place and be and just camp out for the rest of their saved life. I'm saved. I'm good. I'm saved. I'm good. And it is good. But we need to remember the last part, that we were created. We are God's creation to do some things in that for Him. He has prepared for us. But God's grace doesn't stop there. Well, many people believe that God's grace is that's it, and that's what His grace is. It's all about salvation, but it's much more than that. You see, I said we were going to open the door. We're going to step in for a minute, and then we're going to look at it. It's going to be bigger than what we can handle, and we're going to step out of it here in just a little bit. Because we can only handle so much at one time. How do you know you can only handle so much for one time? Let me ask you this. If you really want to draw to Jesus Christ, you want to really draw to the Father, you find a moment and a place where you just want to draw to Him, and you get very, you pull yourself. As Scripture says, if you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. Honestly, on this side of heaven, you can only handle it so much. When you start coming to Christ, you get Christ. I'm telling you, when you come to Christ and you feel the power of the Holy Spirit, you feel His presence, it is very powerful. It is very powerful. People are like, what are you talking about? Just go back to the story of Moses when he wanted to see God. God says, you can't see me. You die. But I'm going to let you see the backside of me. You see, we can only handle God to a moment. When we really get to that closeness of God, there's a presence there. The power of God is so awesome and beautiful. And just the glory of God would just... We're just stepping into... I don't think you understand, where would your life be today just without the grace of the salvation that you have? Where would you be today? Many of you would not be here with the lifestyle that you were living. Many of you would not be here. You're never good as you think you are. Let me tell you how bad we would be. Without Jesus Christ, just go back to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Man just cannot live without God. He will turn again. We will turn against one another and we will destroy one another, because the prince of the air is rolling in this world here, as he's the prince of the air. Without God's intervention, man is doomed. You are, without Jesus Christ, you are a dead person walking. The only reason you're breathing is because must not be your time or whatever it is. But there comes a time when it's going to be over. Without Christ, you just go into eternity dead. But when a person comes to Christ, they are now renewed. They are alive in Jesus Christ. Not alive on your own, but alive in Jesus Christ. Where would you be without salvation this morning? God is worthy of praise. That's when our praise kicks in. Number two, once we have the salvation piece, we have the grace, we need to understand it all. But we have enough to where we have asked Christ into our life, and our faith is we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was buried and resurrected. He was crucified for the sins of the world. And we accept this as truth. Out of faith, We receive salvation and we are put back, we are put to life. We are alive in Christ and we have salvation. And we have a seat in the heavenly realms, a seat with your name on it. You're just not there yet. Ephesians chapter 4. Now I want to ask you this question before moving to Ephesians chapter 4. How many of you have experienced, I just want you to think about that, you don't have to raise your hands, how many of you have experienced God's grace and salvation, and you understand it's not works that I've done, not the works you've done, but by God's grace, you reached out and you said, I want this and I have it, and you have salvation today without a shadow of a doubt. Then you have experienced God's grace in salvation. Ephesians chapter 4, let's see what else you got. Ephesians chapter 4, this is going to stun a couple. This might sting for a few, but might be exciting for others. Ephesians chapter 4, we will not go through all of this because we are not on all of this topic, but we are on some of this topic. Verse 7, now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the Messiah's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity and he gave gifts to people, which can be kind of confusing. But what does he ascended mean except that he descended in the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the training of the saints and the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. What we see here now is, and we also can see this in other places in God's word, is God gifts people with spiritual gifts and callings. God gives his people spiritual gifts and callings. And it's by his grace we have them. It's not a gift that we earn, but it's by God's grace. It is by God's grace. So Ashley is our music leader. She has a good voice and she sings. Many singers leave the church house and go out and sing in the world because they feel it's a higher level and a better level. But I want to remind you, a lot of them stay in the church because they understand and know. But what I want to say about that singing part is this. How do you sing so well? Why do you even sing? It is because of God's grace. When God has something that he has something that he puts upon you to do something, he will gift you in the calling. He will gift you with the necessities and the necessary gifts and talents that you need to fulfill what God has called you to do. And you're getting that not because you are awesome and great. You're getting that because you can't preach. You can't really teach. You can't serve. Even in old scriptures we read that even God blessed some and gave some men talents to be good builders. To build the temple. Because they didn't have it in them. But God gave individuals spiritual gifts, talents, and callings to do the work that he has set out. This is God's world. God has a plan. He set forth his plan. Nothing's going to bump it. He gets it. He knows darkness is there. But if you go back, look at scripture, book of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially Mark, you'll see that anytime Jesus came around, the demons would just shudder. Listen, when God puts his foot on the earth or the bottom of the sea, whatever, you go to the ends of the book of Job, you'll see who can walk in the recesses of the deep? Only God. He takes a walk in the bottoms of the ocean. This is God's world. This is God's lifespan. The future belongs to God. And even when it gets dark for a moment, even Scripture says darkness will have its hour. What's an hour compared to eternity? This is God's world. The future belongs to God. Doesn't all this politics and stuff, what God is doing behind the world's stages and all of those things. It's all for the big picture. God's glory. God's purposes. You're living in it, so He offers salvation by grace because you couldn't earn it. He comes by and He starts calling people to do certain things. And He says, listen, you couldn't do it on your own. He's not going to tell you that. He already knows that. You're dumb like me. You don't fit the part. You're a circle trying to fit in a square hole. But God makes a way. Some of you are super smart. God gifted you with smart and to be very intelligent. Me, I'm not so much. But God has put in me vision, a weird type of things. Because I'm not a square, a triangle. I'm one of the things that don't match. I don't know what it is, but I don't match. Carlos says I don't match. I know that. I love to start things. I just do. Where did I get that? Where'd you get your abilities? By God's grace. Now you can use them for the Lord, or you can use them in the world. And sometimes when you go away from God, sometimes you'll lose it. And then we become accountable to what God has given to us. We become accountable to what He has called us to do in our callings. And I believe those who are gifted highly, I believe all of us are accountable and will stand in judgment on how we use those. But those who He's given extra callings to, extra, even at higher levels, some people can sing and give you a little bit of music ability. Some of us, you can learn a talent. Some of us can learn how to play a guitar. Some people can play a piano. But you ever see somebody that gets on one that's just being able just to, not, never a lesson in their life and just roll through it? Or just sing and like, wow, what a voice they have. Or just somebody that goes and gets in the Bible and all of a sudden, yeah, they study like everyone else they should, but somehow, man, it just clicks for them. And they can go to you and tell you how long the temple was, how tall the temple was, and they just get all up into it and everything, and you're like, oh my goodness, you lost me 20 minutes ago. God has gifted the people. Why? Why is He gifted? Some of you have compassion. Listen, here's what I know. Here's what I know, okay, because I'm using some of you. I'm going to pick two people. Now, I'm going to pick two people today, and I'm not busting them out. I love them with all my heart. But Bob and Carla, it can be hard at times. They're tough. I'm just saying. Bob shares about his old life before he came to Christ. I know Carla very well. But I want to say this. They cannot be working in the ministry they're doing without God going, you need some compassion. You need some compassion. So the problem is sometimes when you get it and you don't keep it harnessed, you want to give everything to everybody. You want to give everything to everybody and help everybody. But you got to remember that Jesus didn't help everyone. Sometimes they had to come to Him. Sometimes He says, we got to go. We got to go. I was called to go to these other places. I need to preach and share the gospel. I need to go to other places. Paul would say, I got to go to other places. Jesus said, we need to go over here. We need to go over there. But for us, He would say, I'm calling you to do something. And even if it don't fit, I love it when people say, I'm not qualified to do that. I love it. Because when people say, I'm qualified, I don't like that. Because it tells me, they know. They think they know what we're getting ready to talk about. We were unqualified to do what we're doing. I was unqualified to do what I'm doing. You were unqualified to do what you're doing. We were unqualified. But when God's grace overshadows an individual, you are unqualified. But when God's grace comes in to overshadow you, Phil, and overshadow you, when you had a plan to do what you were doing, when He overshadows you, you can't help but to take it all in, and He calls you to do something that's always bigger than yourself. But it's never bigger than God. And the evidence is seeing what happens in your life. The first piece is you must have faith. Even in salvation, it says you have to have faith. Here you have to have faith and acknowledge it. Take it in. And let God do the work. And when that grace overshadows you, He calls you to things. He gifts you with spiritual gifts. He gifts you to do. And He gives you the tools to do what you need to do. Some of us are stubborn and we won't let God do it, or we try to force doors open and we try to do things. One, I want to tell you, if you're not sure what it is that's going on in your life that God wants to do, sometimes it feels like He's not working there. He's working if you let Him. Now, it is hard when you're running around trying to live your life in the world and trying to come back to the church. Listen, you're still struggling with, I believe you're probably still struggling with your basics. But even through basics, God does and covers people with His shadow of His grace and His callings. Nothing limits God. God does, He does what He knows is right, and what He does is right and it is righteous. But some of us will struggle because we don't trust, or we think we need this, we need that, because we're looking out of fleshly eyes, out of a fleshly heart instead of a spiritual heart and spiritual eyes, and trusting and letting faith come in the front. You see, there's always a part of the calling, always part of the gift that there has to be. Faith has to be exercised. If there's 100 steps, God may take you to 99, but your faith will have to be exercised. For some, He lets us take 2 or 3 steps and He'll do the rest. But some of us, He'll do half and He'll say, you have to do these things. But that's what He does. He overshadows us with His grace and He gives us gifts. So right now, in the world today, just the 2 things we're talking about. If you're a believer today, you've experienced God's grace with salvation. Number 2, as a believer, you should know that God has gifted at least every individual, at least has one spiritual gift. Some of us have more, some of us have callings and leads and things that God's using us and He's working in our lives. That's a lot to take. That's a lot to take. I want to remind you that Jesus gave out those gifts. He knows you better than yourself. Now we're going to look into the third area. We're going to step into the third area. We're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll see what Paul has to say about something here. I hope you're beginning to see that when you come to Christ, your life now is not your own. Because when it was your own, you didn't do so hot. You didn't do very good on your own. How many of you honestly can say, I really flubbed up my life when I was in charge? I want to remind you today, I am not perfect. I also know this, I serve a perfect God just like you. But also, I want to say, life can be tough, even for a believer. But I'll tell you this, I don't know how a lost person even lives in the world today. I don't know how a believer can just struggle so much and be just run away from God when they know. The funny thing is when we drift from God, we know when we're doing it as a believer. When we walk away from God, we start backsliding from God, we know we're doing it. When we're a believer, we know when we're doing it. We know how we're doing it. We know a lot about it, but we still do it anyway. Third piece. I'm going to start in verse 4. I'm going to start in verse 1 because it's going to help us. Now, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel I proclaim to you. You received it and have taken your stand on it. You are also saved by it. If you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe for no purpose, for I passed on to you as important what I have also received. Paul's writing to the people of Corinth. He says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared over 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Now here we go. Last of all, to me, or to one abnormally born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not ineffective. However, I worked more than any of them, yet not I, but God's grace that was in me. Therefore, whether it is I or they, so we proclaim, so that you have believed. Here's what we see in this piece here. That this part of grace is I am what I am. This is the deeper part. Okay? Stick with me. For I am the least of the apostles. He's saying, I'm an apostle, but I am the least. I am the bottom of the barrel. I am unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. We could rephrase that saying, I am the worst of sometimes of a believer. Unworthy to be called a Christian at times. Because why? Because what? Even as a believer, some of you have taken the Lord's name in vain. Even as a believer, some of us have done things that we should have not done. But even as we were lost, we were doing things that were not right. We were sinning before God. And we are unworthy, really, of this salvation. He says, I'm unworthy to be called an apostle. Some of us, as I've shared the gospel with some, would say, I am unworthy to be called a Christian. I'm unworthy of God's salvation. I'm unworthy to be called an apostle, he says. I could say many times that I'm unworthy, really, to be a pastoring or preaching God's word. Unworthy to be doing these ministries and leading those. But how does it work? But it's by God's grace. As an overshadowing, by God's grace, I am what I am. I am here today because of God's grace. I am preaching to you today because of God's grace. Nothing awesome I am. I am not nothing. There's nothing here that would make me awesome for people to come and listen to. It is only by God's grace. I could say that I'm an uneducated preacher, that I don't come from a long line of preaching men. I could say all kinds of things, but I would also know this, grace, God's grace shuts those things down. Because when God says he forgives you, he forgives you. God's not going to let that... When Jesus Christ died for you and you called upon him, he forgives you of your sins. We see it even in 1 John when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. When we experience the power of that scripture, it's a done deal to God because he wants to move on. He wants to move on. He's ready to move on because he's got some things he wants to do in your life. But sin always must be taken care of. And he says, he does this, and he says, but I am what I am. I am today what I am only by God's grace. Bob has the meal ministry only by God's grace. Carla works the women's life out only by God's grace. Phil and Pat Jones are a blessing to this church, but they are here by a gift by God, loaned to us for a while by God's grace. As answered prayer to 2017 or 16 praying, that 19, whatever it was, that we prayed that God would bring an esteemed couple here. That was rooted in the gospel. That was experience that knew something about discipleship. And by that, God's grace answered the prayer, brought them here, answering prayer. We have it. Now we are responsible to take it in and receive what they have to give to us as God has given grace on them. And they work through here. Bob falls out of a building. His whole body is messed up, but God can take a mess up and bring him up into something awesome. Today, Bob may not be walking the way that most of us are doing it today, but I want to tell you, he does a lot more by God's grace. Not by his own power. His own power would have been doing the stupid things that he was doing afterwards. So God says, here's an opportunity. God overshadows it. Overshadows him, that whole situation. No situation is bigger than the arms of God. So God has saved Paul, who used to persecute the church, called Paul, gave him gifts. He's now an apostle. He says, by God's grace, I am. Even though he says, I'm unworthy of it, he says, by God's grace, I am here, an apostle. I am what I am, and I'm not going to shy about it. I'm going to stand here, be the Christian God called me to be, because God has overshadowed me with his salvation, his gifts, and his grace, and I can stand firm in the sound foundation of Jesus Christ by God's grace. And then he says, in his grace, you continue to hear through this whole theme, it's by God's power, by God's grace, that this church is anything that it is. Remember our humble beginnings? It is by God's grace we are here today. I love our churches in this community, but God has started us in a home, the Thorns home, the Seymour's home. Moved us to this storefront where Kevin and Dave owned. We appreciated that. And it was our home for a couple years. Moved us downstairs, upstairs, across the street, over here. We moved more than any church I'd known. I think we moved 5 times in the first 10 years. Thought we were going to have acres way out there. But I honestly believe, this is not boasting on the Lord, that this is the greatest church in northeastern Indiana, if not Indiana myself. Not because of me. Not because of Carla. Because you can for a fact, you may not agree with everything that I'm saying on my stuff. It's okay. I don't always agree with you. But this is what I do know. I bet if we had a conversation, we would believe and agree that not only is Jesus Christ the Son of God, but that he has called us to do something so much bigger than ourselves. And that we can only do it. We don't have deep pockets, but we know the one that owns everything. We can't go out and buy things because we just can't do it, but we know the one that can. That can give us a home for $50, can give us a house for $65 and have that thing paid for in a week. I believe if there was a $200,000 building that God wanted us to have it, he'd make it happen. Why? Because one, we've allowed God's grace to work here. We have an open door. Now when God's Spirit comes in, I know this, he sees a lot of sin. But he also sees a lot of love, a lot of compassion. But that's still, I don't believe what moves God. I believe what moves God is that we believe in him, that our trust is fully in him, that we believe that Jesus' saving power. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. That we want to be obedient. That's what moves God. To be obedient. To be listening. But also, have a repentant heart. When you do something, you repent. We have an altar that's open. Not just here, but open in our hearts. Paul says, by God's grace, I am what I am. New life today is what it is. By God's grace. And his grace toward me was not ineffective. That's the other piece. God's grace is effective. It moves mountains. It takes a desert and puts springs and makes water come out of rocks. When there's oceans and seas in the way, God parts it. He'll say, just go a little further. And they find these 12 palm trees. Lord says, keep going a little further, new life. I have more for you. You see, we're not done because when we think we're done. That's the problem. We're done. We want to be done when we say we have no money. Oh, we can't do something else. We want to be done when we're like, oh, we don't have enough people. You know why? Sometimes I think God lets us be small. So more he gets the bragging rights. We glorify him. That's the biggest thing that people are moved by. How can a small church do all of this? It actually motivates other churches to go back and do things there, which some of those churches are doing. But we have to keep this in perspective. Remember who we are. We are who we are because of God's grace. And His grace toward us is not ineffective. It's effective. It's effective because I've seen this man's life changed. It's effective because I've seen her step up and her life has been changed. And the callings that God has for you. And it's effective for many people. I've seen changes in many people. We get a little distraught, a little down at times when we don't see the changes that we want to see. But I want to remind you, God is doing work. He's not stopping. He's continuing to serve and work through His Holy Spirit. He says, however, He says, I worked more than any of them. He's saying, I did a lot. I did more than, I've been shipwrecked. There's scriptures that will tell you all the things. I've been naked. I've been shipwrecked a few times. I've been without. I've ate. I've been starved. All these things. I've been beaten. I've been flogged. I've been whipped. I've been in jail. He says, and out of all these things, I worked more than any of them. How many of y'all said that at work? I'm the best worker at work. You know, sometimes it can be true. But when you say it's you, you just failed the test. You didn't fail the test of the world. But you failed the faith test of God. Because it doesn't stop. If you want to say it, you can say it. I work harder than any of them. And you can say that here at the church. I work harder than anybody, but you better finish it. How did Paul finish it? But yet not I, but by God's grace that was in me, I was able to work so hard. If you didn't leave God out of it, and you want to praise yourself, you failed. So we can say the new life is working hard. These church doors, I'm telling you folks, when we first started New Life, the church doors only opened on Sunday and Wednesday. These church doors, they never close. And when they are closed, let me tell you, the phones never stop. You know why? Because brokenness and suffering and pain doesn't shut down at 5 o'clock every afternoon. People still need to eat. We're open. We still have to have phone calls. Some people think it's ironic, but this church has 1, 2, 3 phone calls, 3 cell phones that the church, that the ministries pay for. They don't stop ringing. And it's not to have. I hated having 2 phones. I did that when I was working. This family business had 2 cell phones. I hated it. Sometimes I want to throw my phone out, have an accident on the lake. Whoops, whoop, blah, blah, blah. I don't get a phone call. You should hear me and Bob's phones. We can talk so fast because we know another call is coming. But we love each other and we honor each other. We know our separate. We know that he has a life doing his other thing. But if I have something with ministry, you know what he's going to do? He's going to pick it up. He's going to answer. And if not, I know he's doing his work. But you know what? I know him. He knows the ministry. He's going to call me back. Because ministry doesn't stop at 5. It doesn't stop even when the mill ministry is closed. It goes on. And even the police department has our cell numbers. And they use them. So you could say, I worked more than any of them, yet not I, but God's grace that was in me. Therefore, whether it is I or they, so we proclaim, so that you have believed. What he's saying here, he says, whether I did it, or whether the other apostles did it, or other Christians, so that we are going to proclaim the gospel so that people will believe. It always funnels back. Ministry should always funnel back to Jesus. Because it's all about Him. We are living a redeemed life. I am living in the grace and by the grace of God. And knowing that we just walked through this opened up this little room and just poked in for a few minutes, and we can understand that salvation is by the grace of God, and I have had the grace of God overshadow me. And that moment with God of being overshadowed, I came out of that shadow saved by the grace of God. But not only that, there was another moment where through time and God has answered prayer, growing up in my elementary times of being a Christian, trying to mature through my walk, and his shadow overshadows again, giving spiritual gift, putting a calling in my life. And then some visions and things of that sort of what we're doing today overshadows, and by the grace of God, coming out of that shadow, the power of the Holy Spirit does things. And then now through time, you're doing those things, and you figure, you look at yourself. We were talking about this on the way here. I'm not the same person I was when I was 25, when we first, 20 when we got married. We're not. How do we change when the overshadowing power of God's grace comes on you again, and it comes in your spouse and just starting to use it? What happens is you are never the same person you were. When God's grace overshadows you, you will walk out of that shadow and you walk out of that cloud. You will become a changed individual for the glory and for the purposes of God. And your life is changed forever after. And we should praise Him in all that we do, knowing that life is a gift. And you're here now and you understand it because you've grown in your maturity as a believer. And you know this, that life now is not mine to live, but to live for Jesus Christ. For all that He has done for me, for greater purposes, I have a seat in heaven waiting for me, just as He has for you and you. And they're all there waiting. And we will sit and be seated when the time comes. But in the meantime, we're going to plug on. We're going to serve. We're going to serve in this dirty world. We're going to be the light in the darkness. We're going to keep sharing a way that's different than the world. And it's going to ruffle some feathers, but we're going to keep doing the same thing these guys were doing, because the gospel doesn't change. It's the only thing that doesn't change. At least there's something in this world that's worth holding on to. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is only given to us by God's grace. Now, walking and stepping into this room, just checking out grace, is a powerful thing, because we're getting ready to step out of it, because we can only handle it for so long. But God's grace is amazing. Maybe today God's grace is overshadowing you, calling you to come home. It's time to get your life right. It's time to get some things taken care of. Something that God has put upon your heart that you've been not listening to. Something that, some talents and gifts that you're not using, whatever it may be. Maybe it's time to quit bragging about yourself and start bragging about Jesus. I don't know. Or maybe it's something completely different, because grace, God's grace, is so vast and so big. It is amazing.